God bless you. Matthew chapter 21 tonight. Matthew chapter 21. We're plowing through this book together. This is our New Testament book, and we've come to chapter 21. We finished up chapter 20 this morning, and we're starting a new chapter tonight. You start thinking about Jesus, and it stirs your heart. Thinking about the Lord, how good He's been to you, His precious promises, His presence in our life. The world will let you down. The world changes and shifts with the sands and the winds of time. But the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. We give Him glory tonight. Let's ask Him to speak to our hearts. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse number 1. The parallel passages, let me go ahead and give those to you just in case you're keeping notes through this study of Matthew. The parallel passages are Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. Luke chapter 19, verses 29 to 38. John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. The Bible says in Matthew 21, 1, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. Straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell you the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. The disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. The multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. If you mark your Bible, there's a phrase found in verse number 5. The title of my message tonight is the phrase, Thy King cometh. Thy King cometh. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought with you tonight. Father, help us, I pray. Forgive my sins, help me to be a clean vessel. You know my heart, and if my heart's wrong, I pray you change it. But Lord, if I know my own heart, I want to honor you tonight, I really do. And I pray that you hide me behind the cross, get me out of the way. May these precious people not hear my voice, but may they hear the voice of God speaking through the pages of Scripture. Deal with us thoroughly, I pray. Deal with me, I need you tonight. I need something from you. Speak to me. And show us what we need from thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we begin chapter 21 in our study, we see an event taking place that is recorded in all four gospel accounts. Now it's the account of the Lord Jesus showing himself to be the King of the Jews. This event is also known as the triumphal entry that he made into Jerusalem. Now this event took place the week of his death. As a matter of fact, before the next Sabbath comes, he will have been crucified. In this story, we see the Lord came close to Jerusalem unto a place called Bethpage here and to the Mount of Olives. Now, while there, he sent two of his disciples into the village, and he told them that there they would find a donkey tied and a colt by her. He then told them to bring them to him. And if anybody asked them what they were doing, to tell them, the Lord hath need of them. The disciples did as they were told and went to the village. While they were there, they found just as the Lord told them. And when asked what they were doing, they said exactly what the Lord told them to say. The donkey and the colt were brought to the Lord. The disciples put their own clothes on the colt for a saddle, if you will, and set the Lord upon it. A great multitude began to spread their garments in the way while others cut down tree branches just to put them along the way for the colt to walk upon. The multitudes that went before and behind cried saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. See, the crowd knew what Jesus was doing here. This was all done in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy found in the Old Testament book of Zechariah. The Word of God says that all the city was moved. What a sight this must have been. Up to this point, the Lord had not drawn attention to himself. If you remember that many of the miracles that he did, many mighty miracles, he told the people, don't tell anybody about this. You remember those stories. But today was different. He was revealing himself as the King of the Jews. He was revealing himself as the promised Messiah, the Son of David. He was revealing himself as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And it's interesting that he chose the time of this particular time when all the Jews would come to Jerusalem. He wanted them all to be there. He wanted them all to see him as he proclaimed himself to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, through this story, tonight I share with you six major thoughts of application. I like applying the Word of God. Applying the Word of God is what helps me. It's what changes my life. And there are six major thoughts of application in this story that I see. And I want you, as we travel through these 6 points, to ask God, God, speak to me. What is it you want me to get out of this? And I trust that you're in church on a Sunday night when you could be anywhere doing anything. You have chosen to come here, and I trust that your heart is right, that you want God to speak to you. I'll be honest with you. I'm sick of church just being normal. I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear him speak to my heart. And I want him to speak to me tonight. I'm starting to feel pretty good already, friends. I'm telling you, I'm starting to feel the Lord around this place. There are 6 major thoughts of application we learn. Major thought number one. They're simple. Listen, it's so simple, it's almost embarrassing to bring it out. But I'm glad the Word of God is in simple terms. He's not trying to be complicated. The Lord has made himself in simplified matters. Don't you like it when you can reach out and grab it and say, I understand that. I've got that. I see that. That's what this message is. I hope all my messages are that way. If they're not, pray for me that they will be. Would you do that? Thought number one from this story. Here it is now. Be more concerned about his name than your name. Be more concerned about his name than your name. Here's the point I'm trying to bring out. Notice the language in verse 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples. If you look at the other parallel accounts, he says he sent 2 disciples. 2 disciples. 2 disciples. It's interesting to note how the Word of God does not give us the name of these disciples. We don't know which 2 it was. We don't know which 2 it was the Lord sent to find the donkey and the colt for him to ride upon. These disciples are nameless in this story. They have been given a job by their master. And at first, maybe it seemed like a dirty job. Maybe it seemed like a job that didn't seem very highfalutin, if you will. But their duty was not to question their master, but just simply obey his word and obey him. Believe him and obey him. It may have seemed like a small thing, but oh, there were bigger things happening that they could not see. And I'm telling you that these disciples went as they were told and followed the Lord's commands to the point of saying what he told them to say in response to the questions surrounding their taking the donkey and the colt. The point the Lord spoke to me about is how this story is not about these 2 disciples. This story was about the Lord Jesus and who he is. These disciples were being used in a marvelous way. They were being used in a mighty way to help the Lord be revealed to the multitudes. Oh, I'm feeling good right here. I'm telling you that what I'm saying is they learned that day that when God wrote it down and he inspired the words, just put in there, I sent 2 of my disciples. I don't want the world to know which 2 it was. Because this story is not about them. This story is about him. Listen closely to me, my friends. Life is not about me. Life is not about you, and life is not about us. Life is about Jesus Christ. That's what life's about. The world loses nothing if it doesn't know me, but it loses everything if it doesn't know God. It's not about me and my name. It's not about you and your name. It's not about this church and this church name. It's about the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, that every knee will bow to and every tongue confess to. It's about Jesus, friends. I'm telling you tonight, get it through our thick skull that my life is not about making myself a name, My life is about making the name of Jesus bigger. My life is about taking the name of Jesus and helping reveal Him to a lost and dying world. Let us humbly take our orders from our loving Savior, realizing it's an exalted privilege. Glory, I'm telling you, I'm feeling good. I'm telling you what I'm talking about tonight. What a privilege it is for God to say, I've got a job for you, boy. It may not seem like much now, but I've got bigger business than you can see. All I want you to do is obey me and listen to my voice. It's not about you, boy. It's about me. It's about making my name known. I'm telling you, let us humbly take our position of taking orders from our loving Savior, realizing it's an exalted privilege for Him to use us to help reveal Him to this world. Let us not be concerned about the world knowing our name, but let us be concerned about the world knowing His name. I'm telling you that this world is out to make a name for itself. You go to the school systems, even some Christian school systems, and there's a lot of talk about you can be anything you want to be. Go out and make a difference. Go out and make a name for yourself. God didn't make you to make a name for yourself. He made you to make His name bigger and make His name higher and take Him to a lost and dying world. There's a second thing I see right here, a second point of application. These are these sermons every now and then that I preach. I'm preaching more than less now about these points of application. Many times I just like to give one major thought and hit it and hit it and hit it. That was this morning. Tonight I'm giving you six major thoughts and asking God to hit you with one of them. Number one, think more about His name than your own. Number two, the Lord knows all things. The Lord knows all things. We see this in verses 2 and 3, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway He will send them. Notice in these verses how the Lord told the disciples where to go. And He told them what they would find when they got there. He said, you're going to find a donkey with a colt, and that donkey is going to be tied up. I'm telling you, friends. He even told them the colt would be tied and a human would never have ridden on this colt. He proceeded to tell them, if someone asked them what they were doing, to tell them that the Lord had need of them and they would allow the animals to go. He said, if somebody meets you, He knew they were going to meet them. And if somebody says, what are you doing? Said, you just tell them the Lord hath need and they'll let you have them. That's what He told them. And you know what happened, friends? It happened just like He said. The account in Luke, it says they came and found just like He said. And somebody asked them whenever they were unloosing them, said, what are you doing? And they said, the Lord hath need of them. And you know what they did? They said, take them. Exactly what Jesus said would happen. Here's what I'm saying to you. Spurgeon put it this way. Our Lord knows the position of every animal in the world. And He counts no circumstance to be beneath His notice. The point here is the Lord knows all things. He is omniscient. Get this, think about it. Without anything ever occurring to Him. This is a comfort to God's children. Realizing there is nothing He's not aware of. Nothing He's not aware of. You and I can be assured that if He knows where the donkey and colt were, He knows where I am. And He knows where you are. A farmer went over to his neighbor's field to steal some potatoes, and he took his little boy along with him. He first looked every way, north and south and east and west, and he began to put the potatoes in the bag, but the little boy wisely spoke up and said, Daddy, you forgot to look one way, you forgot to look up. And I'm going to tell you something, we must never forget to look up. He sees all things that we do. He knows all things about us. And I'm telling you that challenges me. That motivates me to live a holy life. That motivates me to live in accordance to His will and His commands. Why? Because I cannot fool Him. I cannot lie to Him. I can wear the mask in front of you. I can wear the mask in front of some of my family members. But I cannot wear a mask in front of God. God knows my heart. He knows about me. And this thought that He knows all things should motivate me to live a holy life. But in the same way, it ought to comfort my heart to realize that when I'm going through things that the world has no idea what I'm going through, when I'm struggling with things and I feel like the world's 1,000 miles away, And I feel like nobody cares and nobody knows what I'm going through. There's a God in heaven, my friends, who knows all things. He knows what I'm going through. He cares about me. He sees me. He knows about it all. Aren't you glad tonight that there's nothing that God does not know about, friends? He knows it all. And you say, nobody knows what I'm going through. That's an untruth. That is not true. Jesus knows more about what we're going through than we do, my friends. And he loves us and he cares about us. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, listen to this. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Here's what God said. There's nobody like me, he says. I am God. There's none else. I am God. There's nobody like me. I am declaring the end from the beginning, and I'm even telling you the things that haven't even taken place yet. The Bible says in 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. I'm comforted tonight and convicted tonight and challenged tonight that the Lord knows everything. Then there's a third point. I'm going pretty quickly here. Stay with me. Pray my oxygen level stays where it needs to be. Number three, the Lord's poverty is precious. The Lord's poverty is precious. There's a phrase I want to draw to your attention in verse number three. The Lord is speaking to them and says, if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, notice this, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. One of the most precious thoughts in this passage, and one of the most precious thoughts in the Word of God to me, is right here in this phrase. Notice what the Lord told the disciples to tell those who asked them what they were doing. He said, when you go and find as I've told you, if somebody comes and asks you, why are you doing this? Tell them this, the Lord needs them. I need them. I don't know if that's gripping you like it's gripping me, friends. Think about this story, this statement. The Lord hath need. Let's just chew on that just a minute. The Lord hath need. You know what that tells me? We know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the creator of the universe, friends. He's the God of the universe. He's the Savior of the world. Yet at this point in his life, he had a need. What a thought. What a thought. This shows the precious poverty of our Lord. What I'm talking about is he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. But he had to borrow a donkey. Why did he have to borrow it? Because it was Old Testament prophecy that he would ride on one. He created that donkey. And at this time he needed it. Do you understand what I'm saying here, friends? Anybody getting what I'm trying to get across here? I'm saying this to you. When he was born, he borrowed a stable. Here he borrows a colt. And a few days from this text right here, he'll be buried in a borrowed tomb. Let all of God's children rejoice and praise the name of our wonderful Savior for becoming poor, that you and I may become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. If you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Think about it. The Lord hath need. It doesn't even belong in the same statement, does it? The Lord has need? Yes, tell him, the Lord has need. He's showing us how human he is here. I thought God controlled it all. I thought God owned it all. He does, and he still did here. But he's manifesting how poor he became to make us a child of God. Let me give you a fourth thing. Fulfill your God-given purpose. Fulfill your God-given purpose. I was studying on this, and there was one message that I found that called it donkeyology. Donkeyology. Now, may I say this to you? We don't get a lot of lessons from donkeys. But there's a great one here. You know what it is? Fulfill the reason he made you. Fulfill your God-given purpose. See, in verses 7 and 9, notice this. And brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, straw them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Wait a minute. There's nothing said about the donkey. But who's he riding on? Who carried him through those streets? Who did he use to manifest himself to the crowd? You listening to me? Here's what I'm saying to you. In these verses, we see the Lord sending for a donkey and its colt. Now get this. The purpose of this colt was for him to sit on it and ride through the street, proclaiming his identity to those who would be gathered. Now get this. The Lord created this colt for the purpose that it would carry him to others. Now stay with me. This colt was simply fulfilling the purpose that God created it for. Jews regarded animals that had never been ridden as especially suited for holy purposes. This animal fulfilled its exalted purpose for being created. In other words, when God was forming that baby donkey, that colt, in the womb of its mother, he knew it was the colt that Zechariah 9:9 had prophesied about. He made that colt with a specific purpose: to take him through the street and help proclaim him to be the promised Messiah. Now, in the same way, listen to me now. We have all been created with a special purpose in life. Our purpose is like this donkey's, in that we have been created to glorify our God and to carry him to the world. Let us determine to fulfill God's purpose for our one life to live. See, where we get mixed up and where we get in trouble is when we mix up our God-given purpose. The world tries to tell you to make a name for yourself. Get all the money you can, the biggest house you can buy. And there's nothing wrong with those things in the right place. But we learn from the donkey here. I didn't see anybody saying, as the Lord was going through the streets, we don't see anybody saying, boy, look at the legs on that donkey. Boy, look at that thing. That's the most beautiful animal I've ever laid my eyes on. You get this? Look at me. It's almost as if the donkey wasn't there. But God included it in his plan and made it and gave it that privilege to carry the Son of God on its back. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say that God made me with a purpose. And if the world looks at me and says, look at that, if the emphasis is me, I am not doing my purpose. I'm not fulfilling it. You know what the Bible says we are? We're ambassadors for Christ. You know what the Bible says? That we're to glorify God in our body. You know what the word glorify means? It means to magnify. It means as people look at you, God should be bigger to them. It means that when they watch you live and watch how you speak and watch how you live, that your life is magnifying God, not yourself, but the Lord. Fulfill your God-given purpose. He did not create you for you. He created you for Him. And He did the same for me. There's a fifth thing here. That is, Jesus completely fulfilled prophecy. Jesus completely fulfilled prophecy. We see this in verses 4 and 5. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." The word of God says all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. This is a reference. He's pointing back to an Old Testament reference in Zechariah 9:9. It says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." That was written hundreds of years before this event is taking place. Get this, the Old Testament prophesied about the coming Messiah, prophesied about the coming King of Kings, prophesied that He would not come riding as a warring king on a horse. And He would not come riding as a warring king in a chariot. But it was prophesied that He would come riding as a peaceable king on a donkey's colt. And the donkey's colt has been known as the most homely and humble of all animals. In all of this, we see that the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of Messiah were completely fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Old Testament said it was going to be a colt and a donkey, that's exactly what happened here, because He is the Messiah. He makes no mistakes. He cannot lie, and He fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. And in fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies concerning what would happen with Him, this shows us that He is the promised one of God. He is the Son of God. He is the way of salvation. He is all He claimed to be. Glory for who Jesus is. He is not some of the fulfillment. He's all the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. Whatever God said in His Old Testament pertaining to His Son came true in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 5:39, this is why the Lord said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye have eternal life." You think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. This is why in John 1:45 it says, "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found Him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." John 5:46, this is why it said, "For had ye believed Moses," talking about the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, "ye would have believed Me, for he wrote of Me," Jesus said. This is why in Luke 24:27, it says, "And beginning at Moses, the Pentateuch, and all the prophets," Jesus, "He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And we see that as a major thought right here. Then there's a sixth thing. Let me go back and just mention these first five again. We've learned, first of all, to be more concerned about His name than our own. We learn that the Lord knows all things. We learn that the Lord's poverty is precious to a child of God. We learn that we are to fulfill our God-given purpose, not making a name for ourselves, but simply carrying the Son of God to the world. We learn that Jesus completely fulfilled prophecy. And then sixth and final here, we learn that we are to worship God with pure motives. We are to worship God with pure motives. Take me a minute to get to this, but let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse 8. "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This is a beautiful scene as we see it unfold. That crowd knew exactly what the Lord was doing when He was being ushered through the streets. They were familiar with the Old Testament prophecies. They knew he was claiming to be the King of the Jews. They knew by this event he was claiming to be the promised Messiah. As a result of his claim, they began to spread their garments. By the way, spreading garments back in this day was an act of showing respect for high royalty. In other words, when somebody would remove a piece of clothing and lay it in the way, they were recognizing that person that you are royalty to me. And they were doing this. They were cutting down branches to put along the way. The Bible says the multitudes went before and behind. They were in front of him and behind him, and they were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." You know what the word Hosanna means? It means save now. Save now. That's a key thought. Stay with me. And this cry was taken from Psalm 118, verses 25 to 26. They are basically crying out Old Testament prophecy. Luke tells us the disciples rejoiced, praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen. The other accounts, I think it's in Luke, that's the account I believe it's Mark. Anyway, it's in one of the four. The Pharisees wanted the Lord to rebuke the people when they heard the people rejoicing, "Hosanna in the highest, Son of David, glory to God." They recognized that he was receiving praise from man at this point and that he was claiming to be Messiah. And they said, "Tell these people to be quiet." It's interesting that the Lord said, if these people will shut their mouth, the stones will immediately start screaming forth. That's the same passage. And in that, he's claiming to be a deity, you see. Rocks don't praise man, friends. But rocks praise the God that made them. He was claiming to be deity. Let me say this to you. Doesn't this scene sound great to you? It's a wonderful scene. But remember the point. Worship God with pure motives. This is a beautiful thing. And may I say to you that everything that Jesus is receiving here, he deserves it. But here's the point that God spoke to me about. This same crowd who at this point is worshiping and praising him will in a few days be in the crowd that's calling out, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Let me ask you a question. Why? Let me tell you why. It's because at this point, this story we're reading right here, when he's being marched through the street, they were, now get this, expecting him to make their life better, to make their life safer, and to make their life more enjoyable. See, they were blinded to the cross. They didn't understand it. And may I say to you that they were interested in the miracles and the current excitement. And get this, I've got this underlined. They wanted a Christ of their own making. But when he did not fulfill their hopes, many turned against him and began to cry, "Crucify him." The point is, they didn't understand his purpose for coming. His purpose for coming was not to make their life easy. See, they thought that he was going to immediately... See, they were under Roman bondage at this time, you see. And they knew that if anybody could break them out of the Roman bonds, it would be Messiah. And when they saw Jesus fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, they saw him coming just like Zechariah said. Their hopes got up. This is him. He's come to set up his kingdom. He's going to snap these bonds off of us. The Roman bondage is getting ready to come to an end. But they didn't realize that there was a greater bondage than Rome. And that bondage is the bondage to sin. And that Jesus' purpose for coming in this portion of Scripture was not to set up his kingdom. He will do that, but not here. His purpose is, the Bible says in the Old Testament that he set his face like a flint. He was on his way to Calvary. He was going to die. Here's what I'm saying. They wanted him to fit in their mold. They wanted him to do certain things that they expected. They had hopes and dreams of their life becoming a bed of roses. And when he didn't fulfill their desires, their praise and worship fled away. You know what this tells me? They had impure motives. Their motive was not right for praising God here. They were right in praising him. They were right in worshiping him. But their purpose was wrong. God, I will praise you because you are getting ready to do this for me. And I'm expecting you to do this, and I'm just going to worship you and praise you because I just believe you're going to do this for me. That's impure motives. If you go to God in worship and praise in order to get something out of him that you expect, that is not true worship, friends. It's not true worship. Friends, let us determine to worship the Lord with pure motives. What I mean by this is let us worship him for who he is, not in hopes of him giving us what we want. Does that make sense what I'm saying here? Worship the Lord in purity and sincerity. Don't put God in a box is what I'm saying. And worship him as long as he stays in the confines of what you expect. Can I say this to you? His purposes are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And even times that we don't understand, we are to praise him in truth. Easy to preach this, hard to live it. Much easier to preach it than live it. I know that. But you realize that there are people who have fallen out of church. I'm talking about born-again children of God now. They know the Lord. At one time they loved the Lord. But something tragic happened in their life and they start blaming God. And now the FBI can't find them. We can all fall into that trap, friends. And if we ever do, we must look at ourselves and say, God, are you really only worthy to be praised as long as my life is good? Or are you worthy to be praised even if it means a cross? Even if it means a tomb. God help us to see this. The Bible tells and speaks about this in John 4:23. Here's what it says. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. It's interesting that Jesus is speaking. I believe it's the Lord's direct words here. And he differentiates worship. He says there will come an hour when the true worshipers will worship God. You know what that tells me? There must be false worship. For there to be true worship, there must be false worship. And he says, here's what my Father desires. He desires to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Is that how we worship God? Or are we guilty of saying, God, I'm going to read my Bible today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get as close to God as I can, but maybe never saying it with our lips, but in the back of our minds, we're saying, I'm going to do this because I don't want something bad to happen to my family. I'm going to do this because I don't want to take a chance. I'm going to worship him because I have a great need in my life, and I believe if I just get before him and right here just lay out before him, get on my face before him and worship him and read his word and all good things, great things. But what's our motive? What's our motive? We all need this. Have we really come to the point where we say, God, whatever's going on in my life, you will still hear me say, Hosanna to God in the highest. Glory to the Son of David. Peace on earth. Or are you worshiping with an evil desire? That can happen to good and godly people. Don't let it happen to you. We come thinking about this triumphal entry of the Lord. And the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew and in the other accounts that His coming in caused a stir to the point that the city was moved to ask this question, who is this? And others said the world has gone after Him. In this story, we see several thoughts for our attention. Let me challenge us tonight. Let's do business with God, who is so gracious to speak to our hearts. Is God speaking to you tonight? You say, Jody, I don't know what you're talking about. Did you sense something in your heart that you need Him? That you can't do it without Him? Is He speaking to you? Whatever He says, let's bow before Him. Amen. Glorify Him, honor Him, praise Him, and fulfill our purpose, not to make a name for us, but to carry Him to others. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, we love You tonight. Help us, I pray. Speak to our hearts. Thank You for Your goodness. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Tonight, what is God speaking to you about? First questions first, are you a child of God? Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Lord who fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecy? Do you know the Lord Jesus who came to die on the cross for you? Buried and rose again so that you may be saved? Are you a Christian? Is heaven your home? Have you said, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again Christian. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. I am going to heaven because I've done what the Bible says, that I've trusted Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. And you know you have. Please don't condemn yourself, but you know that you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. You know you're born again. You know you're saved. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You know you're a Christian. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Maybe you're here tonight and you couldn't raise your hand to that. I want to say, first of all, thank you for being honest. I want to say to you, if you're sitting there and you could not raise your hand to that question, that all these folks who could raise their hand, there was a day they could not. And it's only by God's grace that we can raise our hands tonight. You're among friends is what I'm trying to say. You're not among the worldly crowd that doesn't want you to come. You're among the crowd that will rejoice if you do come for salvation. Is there one tonight say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not saved or I don't know. And I know that this is what I need. I need to be saved. I don't want to play with my soul anymore. I need Jesus. Is there somebody like that? Would you quietly raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. Pray for me. I need to know the Lord as my Savior. If that is you tonight, you come, let us take a Bible, share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight you are a child of God, but you're more concerned with the world knowing you than God. Especially young people today. What a challenge it is for them. When they worry about what the world thinks, what their friends think, what everybody else thinks about them. Friends, it's not about you. It's about the Lord. Be more concerned about Him than you. And I want to ask you this question. Are you living a life proving that you believe that the Lord knows all things? Are you living a holy life because you realize that He knows? He understands. Or maybe tonight you have a need that God's speaking to you about and saying, you know, maybe nobody else knows about this. Maybe my wife, my husband, maybe not even them. Maybe a select few, or maybe nobody knows what you're going through, but God's speaking to you in this way. Hey, I know all about it, and I can help you through it. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you about fulfilling your purpose. Nobody looked at donkey and said, what a donkey that is. No, but they were saying, what a Savior. That's the Son of David. Maybe tonight God's speaking to you about your worship. Oh, you're worshiping Him. Praise God for that. You're praising Him. Praise God for that. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you about your motive. Your motive. Oh, God, I've got a sick one in my home. Oh, if you'll reach down and touch that sick one, I'll serve you the rest of my days on this earth. Listen to me. It's great to say you'll serve Him all the days on this earth, but if you put a condition on it, that is impure motives. We need to go to God just for who He is. He's good no matter what He does, because we know what He does is always good and always right, always truth. Even if it's not what we want, not what we desire, not what we expect, He's still a good God, and He loves you, and He deserves our praise. I don't know how God's speaking to you, but let's do business with Him, shall we? Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, bless it in a mighty way. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. As soon as he says the first word, if God is dealing with you, would you leave your place and come? Come now as he sings. Would you do it?
Have thine own way.
Say, God is speaking to me.
Lord, have thine own way.
Oh, it'd be great for some young people to say, I'm more interested in God's name than my name. I'm more interested in what people think about Him than me. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure of salvation. Come. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Come talk to Jesus. You're playing through softly. Folks are responding. I'm saying this to you. It's crazy to say no to God. Maybe you might be here with somebody that you're concerned with. Maybe you're standing beside somebody that you're concerned about their soul. If God would so lead you, you must be led of the Spirit in this, but if God would so lead you, one of the things that lost people sometimes just need is just a little helping hand. If God would so lead you and you're concerned about somebody sitting beside you or standing beside you, won't you put your arm around them and say, listen, if you want to go forward, I'll go with you. If you want to go, I'll go. Be led of the Spirit in this. May God help you. May the Lord help you. May God help you. Be led of the Spirit in this. We want to help you. We want to be what the Lord wants us to be. We want to do what God wants us to do. And may the Lord have His will. May the Lord have His way. No question about it. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. I like it when people are sensitive. Praise the Lord for it. Way. I've been asked to announce today's the deadline to sign up for the Faithful Men's Meeting, which will be Saturday the 26th at Crown College. The men will be leaving at 4 p.m. It's a free dinner there for men 7th grade and up. The sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board in the lobby. We'll go ahead and dismiss all the deacons real quickly. I should not be in there very long at all, but I'll go ahead and dismiss you right now as well, okay? All right. Thank you for coming tonight. Going to be dismissed in prayer. Be back on Wednesday night if you possibly can. I'm going to ask Travis Steels, if you wouldn't mind, to lift your voice and ask the Lord to help us tonight, please.